ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नास्तप्रैष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 3 चैप्टर 23 वर्स 38 टाइटल्ड देवहूति इज लेमेंटेशन। राइट, तस्मिन् अलुप्त महिमा प्रिया यूना रक्तो तस्मिन् अलुप्त महिमा प्रियानुरक्तो विद्याधारीभिरुपचीर्ण वपुर्विमाने भभ्रजा उत्कच कुमुद गणवान अपिचयस् भभ्रजा उत्कच कुमुद गणवान अपिचयस् ताराबीर अव्रता इवदुपतिर्नाभस्तः ताराबीर अव्रता इवदुपतिर्नाभस्तः तस्मिन् अलुप्त महिमा प्रियायूना रक्तो विद्याधारिभिरुपचीर्ण वपुर्विमाने भभ्रजा उत्कच कुमुद गणवापि चास् ताराबीर अव्रत इवदुपतिर्नाभस्तः तस्मिन् अलुप्त महिमा प्रियायूना रक्तो विद्याधारिभिरुपचीर्ण वपुर्विमाने भभ्रजा उत्कच कुमुद गणवापि चास् ताराभिरव्रत इवदुपतिर्नाभस्तः। तस्मिन् इन दैट अलुप्त नॉट लॉस्ट महिमा ग्लोरी प्रियया विथ हिज बिलोवेड कॉन्सर्ट अनुरक्त अटैच्ड विद्याधारी भी बाय द गंधर्वा गर्ल्स उपचीर्ण वेटेड अपॉन वपु हिज पर्सन विमाने ऑन द एयरप्लेन भभ्रजा ईशोन उत्कच ओपन कुमुद गणवान द मून विच इज फॉलोड बाय रोज ऑफ लिलीज अपिचयास वेरी चार्मिंग ताराभिः बाय स्टार्स अव्रतः सराउंडेड इव एज उदुपति द मून द चीफ ऑफ द स्टार्स नाभस्तः इन द स्काय। एक्चुअली वी फॉरगॉट टू गिव चांस टू प्रबोधन। एनीवन वांट्स टू रिसाइट दिस वर्स।
विद्याधरवीरुपचीर्ण वपुर्विमाने
भभ्रजा उत्कच कुमुद गणवान अपि च
तारा
अभिरवृता युवधुपतिर्नाभस्तः
तस्मिन् अलुप्त महिमा प्रिययानुरक्त विद्याधरिभिरुपचीर्ण वपुर्विमाने बभ्रजा उत्कच कुमुद्गुणवानपि च तारभिरवृत गोधूपतिर्नाभस्तः
माताजी
तस्मिन् अलुप्त महिमा प्रिययानुरक्तो विद्याधरिभिरुपचीर्ण वपुर्विमाने बभ्रजा उत्कच कुमुद्गणमानपि च तारभिरव्रता युवधूपतिर्नाभस्तः
विल गो टू ट्रांसलेशन दो सीमिंगली अटैच्ड टू हिज बिलोवेड कंसोर्ट वाइल सर्व्ड बाय द गांधर्वा गर्ल्स द सेज डिड नॉट लूज हिज ग्लोरी विच वॉज मास्टरी ओवर हिज सेल्फ In the aerial mansion, Kardama Muni, with his consort, shone as charmingly as the moon in the midst of the stars in the sky, which causes rows of lilies to open in the ponds at night. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The mansion was in the sky, and therefore the comparison of the full moon and stars is very beautifully composed in this verse. Kardama Muni looked like a full moon, and the girls who surrounded his wife, Devuti, seemed just like the stars. On the full moon night, the stars and moon together form a beautiful constellation. Similarly, in that aerial mansion in the sky, Kardama Muni with his beautiful wife and the damsels surrounding them appeared like the moon and stars on the full moon night.
ओम अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदामयं ददाति स्वपदन्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सहग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथं वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदां सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणासिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिकाकान्ता राधाकान्ता नमोऽस्तु ते तप्तकाञ्चन गौरङ्गे राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी ऋषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये पाञ्चकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
So we'll read the translation again. Though seemingly attached to his beloved consort, while served by the Gandhava girls, the sage did not lose his glory, which was mastery over his self. In the aerial mansion, Kardama Muni with his consort shone as charmingly as the moon in the midst of the stars in the sky, which causes rows of lilies to open in ponds at night. So in this translation, actually this verse, this whole section is very important because it gives us a lot of practical points which we can implement in our life. And especially in this verse, Prabhupada has used the word seemingly attached. When somebody is doing something seemingly, means? What does seemingly mean?
It's very close to
no. Seemingly means is pretending. It's not really he is attached. So Prabhupada especially used seemingly attached means he's not really attached, but it seems like he was attached. So seemingly attached to his beloved consort, while served by the Gandhava girls, the sage did not lose his glory, which is the mastery over the self. So even though he was acting as if he was attached, he did not lose his glory, which is mastery over his self. His self-control was still there. So very important. And then in the translation, he created aerial mention. Kadama Muni created aerial mention. So there are three main points that we'll discuss today from this verses. First is protection by the Lord. The second point that we will discuss is Brahma Tejas. What is Brahma Tejas? And the third point that we'll discuss is Vedic civilization. How these personalities deal with their family members. So these are the three points that we'll discuss today from this class, from this verse. So first is protection by the Lord. Devotees are always protected by the Lord. And Lord, actually in the few verses before, when Lord Vishnu appeared in front of Kardama Muni, Lord mentioned, like verse 24, Lord says, like the desires of people like you, who have fully concentrated your mind on me, are never frustrated. So even though Kadama Muni was feeling sorry for himself, because he mentions to the Lord, I condemn people who ask for material gains and worship you for material gains, but look at me now. I have done this austerity and I'm asking you for something which is material. I have got a desire to marry. But again, Bhagavatam says, akama karma, akama sarva kamava, moksha kama udardi, tivrena bhakti yogena, yajita purusham param. So if you have got kam, or you don't have kam, you don't have material desires, or you have desires, or you have desire for liberation, you should always worship Supreme Lord Krishna. So on this principle, even though Kadama Muni had a desire to worship, to marry, he worshipped the Supreme Lord. He did, because he did not know anyone except for the Supreme Lord. And this is what even Krishna says, Samoham Sarva Bhutesh. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Samoham Sarva Bhutesh Navedesha Astina Priyaya Ye Bhajanti Tu Mam Bhakta Mahita Teshu Chapiham. Like, I don't envy anyone, nor I am friend to anyone. But one who serves me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I am also friend to him. So, here we see this. Kardama Muni is very dear to the Lord. And if I tell you a material example, sometimes in my material dealings, I'm in need of finance. So I have to make my decisions based on finances. So I just go ahead and take those decisions. And I've got a couple of my friends who are very rich. I call them up. I need so much of finance for this material thing. And they immediately say, you want cash or check? So when you've got friends like them in material world, you can make decisions fearlessly, right? Because you know the finance will be arranged. So think about here, Lord is saying, I'm a friend of Kardama Muni. Lord is saying, I'm a friend. So how can there be any frustration or misery in the life of Kadama Muni? So even in material dealings, we become fearless if you have got some powerful or rich friends. So imagine if Lord is our friend. So this is what Kadama Muni is saying, and this is how Lord is saying. Lord is in Srimad Bhagavatam, we see from time to time devotees are been protected by the Lord. In third canto, in ninth chapter, verse 24, Lord Brahma actually prays. Lord Brahma has seen the Lord, and Lord Brahma is praying, like, now I have been engaged into creating this material universe, and I have to deal with so many living entities on different level of consciousness. So I'll be contaminated. There are all chances that I'll fall down by their association. So he's praying to the Lord. So the whole chapter is like prayers of Lord Brahma. So he's praying to the Lord, please help me so that I don't get influenced by the association of these living entities. The first thing, not the first thing, but Lord Brahma created, after Lord Shiva, he created all the bhutas, and so he was afraid actually. So Lord Brahma is praying to the Lord, and Lord assures him like, you will not be contaminated by the influence of these living entities. Also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave a benediction to his disciples, like, you can go and preach this message to all the living entities, fallen souls, and he will protect you. You will not be contaminated by their association. So we see from time to time, because this material energy, Devi Eshi Gunamai, Mama Maya Durate, Mame Vaya Prapadente, Maya Metam, Tarantite, right? So this material energy, which consists of the three modes of material energy, is the energy of the Lord. So if somebody is engaged into a devotional service of the Lord, he will not be influenced by the, and he will easily be, Lord gives guarantee in Bhagavad Gita, right? Maya Metam Tarantite, he will cross over the ocean of material existence. So this is how Lord protects in Lord protects his devotees who are serving him in devotion. And there are three kinds of relationships actually. In the first canto, in the second chapter, Prabhupada, there are verses where, the second chapter is called Divinity and Divine Service, in which Prabhupada gives purports where one, how can one establish his relationship. And so Prabhupada says there is no happiness in material world, but one can become happy if one establishes his relationship with the Lord. So we see there are three kinds of relationships. The first one is where one is totally dependent on someone for everything. So when there is a relationship between two persons, when one person is totally dependent on someone for everything and he does not have any intelligence or desire of his own. So that is the first level of relationship, where one is completely dependent on someone else. But that relationship is not so strong. Because imagine, Manmohan Prabhu is not here. Manmohan Prabhu is Crossway in charge, right? If somebody is working under him and comes to him and say, what should I do? Manmohan Prabhu says, okay, you can wash dishes. After washing dishes, he comes back again to him and asks him, what should I do now? He says, okay, you fill in the brain memory, right? And after that, again he comes back, what should I do? He said, okay, clean the tables. Again after that, he comes back. So every day he comes and asks these things. Manmohan Prabhu will be frustrated. He said, you don't do anything. Right? Any person will be frustrated if somebody is completely, so this is a kind of totally dependent on someone and does not have his own intelligence, does not use his intelligence. So that kind of relationship does not work very well. There are arguments, or that relationship causes problem. So even in the material life between husband and wife, this kind of relationship does not work. And we see in this example, we'll come to this point, how Devahuti was serving Kardama Muni. The second level of relationship is totally independent and not influenced by anyone else, and acts by his own mind and desires. So there is another person in Crossways who does his own things, right? He comes to help Manmohan Prabhu, but he's engaged in reading. He goes there and sits on a table and reads. And Manmohan Prabhu asks him to do something and he says, no, let me finish this. Right? Again, that relationship won't work. Right? It is frustrating if somebody is not listening to you. So between a servant and servitude, a servant and master, the relationship has, this relationship cannot work. And the third level of relationship, even though we are independent but agree to work with a person in a dependent way. So this is the third level of relationship, which is a better relationship. Because now this person is independent, but he agrees to work in a dependent way. So once Manmohan Prabhu has told him, these are the activities you are supposed to do, he does not go back again and ask. If there is a requirement for any of those activities, he will do those activities automatically. So he will clean the tables. After cleaning the table, he sees, okay, brain marine needs to be filled up. He will fill it up. Okay, dishes needs to be washed. He will wash it. Does not go for each and every time and ask him what's next. So that is the kind of, he's independently working as well as he's working under the direction. And this is the relation which is very strong. So this kind of relationship lasts longer. And we see how Devahuti was serving Kardama Muni for thousands of years. Kardama Muni was engaged in meditation and he did not even know who was doing all the activities, who was keeping everything ready for him. And Devahuti did not care for her own self. So this was the kind of relationship Devahuti was working, was completely independently working, but again working under the, she was completely dependent on Kardama Muni. So this was, and this is the relationship that we see works, and even in our spiritual life, we have to be working independently, but under the guidance of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. So that kind of a relationship is because we have to put in efforts from our end. So in devotional life there are two things. One is endeavor and mercy. We know that pastime of Yashoda Mai trying to bind Krishna. There were two fingers short. Those two fingers are endeavor and mercy. So unless one endeavors, the mercy cannot come. So we cannot sit in the temple and ask Krishna to give food, shelter, clothing, money, education, everything. But we don't want to put any endeavor. Or we want liberation, or we want to go back home, back to Godhead. Every day come in the morning and ask for those things. But we are not doing anything towards it. So that kind of relationship is the first level of a relationship. Right? Where one is completely dependent on the Lord, but he doesn't want to do anything to work that out. But that relationship does not work. Even the second one does independently of, I'll do my own business and Krishna, you look after my profits. That also does not work. So it has to be third kind of relationship where one is working independently but completely under the guidance of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra or the Lord. So that is the perfect relationship and Lord reciprocates. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, अनन्यस चिंतयन्तु माम ये जना परिप्यासते तेषम नित्य नित्याभियुक्तानं योगमक्षेमं व्याहमहम. But those who worship me in devotion, meditate on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and preserve what they have. So this is a guarantee that Lord gives. So this is the kind of relationship, and we see this is the kind of relationship even in material world works, where there is a endeavor, effort is there to make that relationship work. So we see Lord protects from time to time. We see Lord is protecting his devotees, whether even in material circumstances or in spiritual circumstances. There is another pastime where Maharaj Bharat fell down. Even on the platform of Bhava, he fell down from that platform just by being attached to the deer. And we see how Lord protected Bharat Maharaj. Even in the body of a deer, he was given remembrance of his previous life. And then he was given another chance to become Jad Bharat. Even in that body, he was given remembrance of previous life. Aham Sarvasu Prabhava. Krishna mentions Aham Sarvasu Prabhava Matat Smritir Nanam Aponam Cha. So from me comes Mata, remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. So Lord protects in that way. He gives remembrance to his devotee of his previous life. So in the body of Jad Bharat, he remembered all his previous life, why he had fallen down, and that is why he could again start from very left. Lord preserves what we have. So this is how we see Lord is protecting even Kardama Muni. And after, it will come in subsequent verses, how Kardama Muni, after enjoying, and the level of enjoyment that Kardama Muni had was even bewildering to the demigods. Even demigods did not have that kind of a level of enjoyment. So we'll hear in subsequent verses which will come. So this is the protection of the Lord. The second point is Brahma Tejas. So devotees of the Lord usually are, and we see especially in Srimad Bhagavatam, the devotees have got this quality of Brahma Tejas. There are two things. One is Brahma Tejas and the other thing is Ojas. So Brahma Tejas is generally the powers acquired by one's devotion or Brahmanical performance, Brahmanical powers. So that is Brahma Tejas. And the Ojas is the vital life energy which comes by not discharging semen. So this is difference between Brahma Tejas and Ojas, but both of them make the devotee more powerful in his devotion. They give vitality to his, they give strength and vitality to his material and spiritual life. So we see in Bhagavatam there are many instances where Brahma Tejas has been explained, especially in the pastime of Bali Maharaj, where Brihaspati was a spiritual master of Indra and the demigods. And he tells Indra that Bali Maharaj has become so powerful just by serving his guru, and that power has come from serving Sukracharya. So by the blessings of Sukracharya, he has got all this power. And he mentions, neither you nor any of your men can conquer the most powerful Bali. Indeed, no one but the Supreme Personality of Godhead can conquer him, for he is now equipped with the supreme spiritual power, Brahma Tejas. As no one can stand before Yamraj, no one can stand now before Bali Maharaj. So this is the power of Brahma Tejas. So Bali Maharaj got that Brahma Tejas by serving his spiritual master, just by serving his spiritual master and getting the blessings of his spiritual master. Whereas Indra offended Brihaspati, and that is why they had to lose the heavenly kingdom. So we see the importance of this point where one gets all the qualifications just by serving his spiritual master. So one of the points is Brahma Tejas is acquired by serving faithfully to the Lord and his devotees. And another pastime where King Vena is explained, he was a very powerful king but demoniac. But the Brahmanas, just by chanting the mantras and by the Brahma Tejas, destroyed, completely burnt him off. So Brahmanas have got that power. There is a pastime where again this power of the Brahmanas is explained. There was a king, Maharaj Gadi. It comes in 9th canto. Maharaj Gadi was Maharaj Gadi comes in the king Nabhaga, in the lineage of King Nabhaga. And there was a rishi, Ruchik Rishi, and he comes to Maharaj Gadi because Ruchik Rishi had a desire to marry. So he comes to Maharaj Gadi and tells him, like, I want to marry your daughter, Satyavati. And Rishi was looking like, as Rishis are, mated and looking very old because of their austerity. So Maharaj Gadi, to avoid looking at him, to avoid him, he said, we have got a system in our lineage. If you want to marry my daughter, you have to bring 1,000 moon-like horses, white as moon-like horses, but their 1 year should be black. So he put in this condition, which was not possible, because he wanted to avoid. And Ruchik Rishi was powerful, ascetic, so he, for him, those things were, so he went to Varuna, and he told Varuna, I want this thing, these are the demands of Maharaj Gadi. And Varuna said, okay, take this. And so Ruchik Rishi comes back and gives this 1,000 horses, which are moon-like white, and 1 year is black. So Maharaj Gadi had to fulfill his word, so he gave his daughter Satyavati. So the thing is, this rishis are, in the Vedic civilization, we see these are very powerful. They have got Brahma Tejas. And this Maharaj, this Ruchik Rishi was so powerful that when Satyavati had a desire to have a son, and even his mother-in-law had a desire. So both mother-in-law and Satyavati came to Ruchik Rishi and told him, we want to have a son. So can you please do some yagna or do something? And so Ruchik Rishi does this oblation and gives to Phal, or two prasads, he prepared two oblations, one for his wife Satyavati, which was infested with Brahmanical qualities, so that she can have a son
with Brahmanical qualities, and the other for his mother-in-law, who was a Kshatriya. So that oblation was for her to get a son who is of a Kshatriya nature. But then he did not tell them, and then mother-in-law thought the oblation which was prepared for his wife would obviously be better, right? So she exchanged the oblation, convinced her daughter and exchanged the oblation because she wanted a better son. And when Ruchik Rishi came back and saw that the oblations were exchanged and they have already taken those oblations, so he got a bit angry. Why did you do that? Now you will have a son who is a Brahmana, but he will be furious. He will be like Kshatriya, he will kill everyone. He will be Brahmana, but he will have a Kshatriya nature. And Satyavati fell down at the feet, apologized and said, please don't do this. And Rishi Krishi said, okay, it won't be your son, but it will be your grandson who will be like that. So Jamadagni was born of Satyavati, who was very powerful Brahmana again. And his son was Parshuram, who killed 21 generations of. So this is the quality of a Brahma Tejas. So never mess around with Brahmanas, powerful Brahmanas. This is the point. So whatever Brahmanas say, just accept. Especially if they are very strict and they have fulfilled their vows. Because their curse and benedictions, they take effect immediately. There is no delay. But this is the potency of a Brahmana. We see the Vedic civilization had so much of qualified personalities. These personalities were so powerful that they could, and we see in this section also, Kadama Muni created this aeroplane which can go up, go into any any of the planets in the universe. It went up to it, and Kadama Muni along with 1,000 Gandharva girls and Devuti traveled on this plane. So imagine how big the plane would be. These days, to carry 1,000 people, we don't even have that place, that kind of plane, right? And this plane had everything on there, gardens and lakes and everything. So that is a real jet to have, isn't it? Private jet. But he created this just by the chanting of mantras. And not only that, he even gave Devuti her beauty when she, in the same form, when she arrived as a princess. So this is the power of Brahmanas. This is Brahma Tejas. So just by chanting the mantras, they can, and we will see in the subsequent verses, he manifests himself into 9 forms. So this is Brahma Tejas. The personality, when one is very strict in following the vows of devotional life, he gets this Brahma Tejas. And one who is very celibate, he gets Ojas. Now what is Ojas? Ojas is when one follows the strict vow of Brahmachari. He gets this quality of Ojas. Ojas is when his semen, the fluid, when it travels toward the brain, his whole body becomes effulgent, he becomes intelligent, he becomes strong, and is not influenced to any of the diseases. So he becomes physically very strong and intelligent. His memory increases. So this is Ojas. So it is mentioned for, it is best to remain a Brahmachari in whatever ashram you are. It is best to remain Brahmachari. But if one cannot fulfill the vow of Brahmacharya, one should marry and one can have a relationship once a month. One can have intercourse once a month, but with his own wife, obviously. And it is mentioned, even if one is not able to do that, then one should be very sorry, and in a humble state of mind, one can engage. But one has to observe the days. One should, auspicious and inauspicious days have to be observed. Auspicious days, and so it is said full moon and dark moon night are inauspicious. The 4th day of waxing and waning moon are inauspicious. Any of the festivals are auspicious. So all those days are not suitable for having relationship with wife. So that, and if it is mentioned, it is our scriptures are so well designed. It is mentioned, even if you are not able to do that, even if you are not satisfied with one wife, you can accept more than one wife, but then you have to satisfy them all equally, give them palace equally, and have 10 sons with each of the wife. So that is option given. I'm sure it is, especially who are grihasthas with one or two kids, they cannot think of having 10 kids in this day and age. So that is not an option for us. So, but we have to understand the sex life that we know of. It's the example is given of a camel. So camel chews on the cactus in the desert, and those cactuses have got thorns. And what happens when he chews on the cactus? Does not have any taste, by the way. I haven't tasted, but it does not have any taste, I've heard. It does not have any taste. But when camel chews on those cactuses, the thorns pierce the tongue, and from his tongue the blood comes and mixes with the cactus. And camel thinks it is so nice. So this is what our condition is. When we are engaging in intercourse with opposite sex, we are thinking that it is nice, but it is our own blood. It is mentioned to create one drop of semen, it takes 60 drops of blood. And when one has intercourse once a month, he consumes the whole month of whatever he has, nutrition that was collected, the blood which was made for the whole month, that is consumed in one intercourse. So imagine if somebody is having intercourse more than once a month. So that is going to decrease his longevity of life. He's like eating cactus and thinking it is sweet. So one loses his vitality. But again, the point here is we have to understand what is the level of our strength, whether we can remain brahmachari or we can remain grihastha. So there is a phenomena of elasticity. So one has to be situated in his ashram. Because again, another example is given of a bull. Even though the bull is castrated, so his sex organ is removed, but still, as soon as the bull sees a cow, he tries to enjoy with that cow. Because the bull does not understand, like he does not have the potency to enjoy. So even though we have to restrict, but we have to understand, just by restricting ourselves, we can. So there is a phenomenon of elasticity. So what is elasticity? Elasticity is the ability of an object to regain its original state after it's been suppressed or stretched. So we have to understand, in whatever condition we are in, we can only suppress or stretch ourselves to an extent. But if we do more than that, the elastic band will snap off. So we have to be very careful, like we restrict ourselves or we engage, not more or not less. So we have to have a proper balance in our life. So that is very important to understand in our devotional practice. And the last point which is mentioned here is the Vedic civilization. How to deal with family members. So Srila Rishabhdev in 5th canto mentions this verse, which is very nice. Actually, the whole section of Rishabhdev instructing his 100 sons is very nice. It gives a lot of instruction, especially for Kaliyuga people. He mentions Pumsastriya Mithuni Bhavam Etam Tayor Mithu Hriday Granthiyahu Ato Griha Kshetra Sutapta Vitair Janasya Moho Ayam Aham Mameti. The attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material world. on the basis of this misconception, which ties together the hearts of the male and female, one becomes attracted to his body, home, property, children, relatives, and wealth. In this way, one increases life's illusion and thinks in terms of I and mine. So just because of this attraction between male and female, this material existence is there. We are into this material existence because of that attraction. So if we can get over it as quickly as possible, it is beneficial for us, because only then we will be able to understand. So the more we can restrict sense enjoyment, the more we can devote ourselves to Krishna. So there are two marks mentioned, pravritti and nivritti mark. We'll come to that. But before that, I wanted to make one point. And it is mentioned in this way, because of that attraction, one becomes attracted to his body, home, property, children. So Prabhupada mentions in this, there are two kinds of selfishness. One is centered, one is concentrated selfishness, and the other is extended selfishness. So concentrated selfishness is what? Where one thinks everything in relationship to I. Everything revolves around me. And extended selfishness is everything he thinks everything is revolving around mine, my friends, my family, my children, my possessions, my society, my nation, my football team. So this is extended selfishness. So that is what the point in this verse is mentioned. Everything, and he is illusion to think in terms of I and mine. And Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Devotion says how this I and mine can be spiritualized. By, he gives two words, tvadiyatva and mamatva. So I should be converted into tvadiyatva. Tvadiyatva is I am yours. And mamatva is you are mine. So this is what we should convert I and mine to for Lord. O Krishna, I am yours and you are mine. So Prabhupada again mentions in the same purport where we have created so many objects. But instead of having so many objects as a center, we can just have one object, which is Krishna, and develop this principle of tvadiyatva and mamatva. So this is how one should train his family members. So we see in this pastime, Kardama Muni trained his wife. He did not, as soon as he married, he did not just engage in enjoying with his wife. Even though he had a desire to enjoy with his wife, but he engaged her in serving him. And he, what he was doing, he was not just taking service. He was engaged in meditation. He was. So this is again Vedic culture point, where a wife serves the husband and husband serves his guru or the Lord. So he trained his wife to serve serve him as well as in austerity. Where we can see Devahuti was completely neglectful of her own self. She was completely engaged in serving Kardama Muni. She did not care for her own self. And then when the right time came, he engaged her he fulfilled her desires. So there is another verse which again is my favorite. Guru Nasa Sayat, Swajano Nasa Sayat, Pita Nasa Sayat, Swajani Nasa Sayat, Devam Na Tatsyan, Na Patishtha Sayat, Na Mochete Yat, Samut Peter, Mrityum. If one cannot deliver his dependent from the path of repeated birth and death, one should never become a spiritual master, father, husband, mother, or worshipable demigod. So if one is taking responsibility, one has to make sure he is delivering those personalities who are dependent on him. So there are two, we'll quickly end here. There are two margs, and one is pravritti marg and the other is nivritti marg. So as devotees, we should have a balance of both this. If one becomes too much on nivritti marg, what will one become? You'll become a mayavadi. And if one is too much on the pravritti marg, he will become a sense gratifier or a karmakandi. So one has to have a balance between pravritti and nivritti. So that balance can only, we don't have to artificially renounce the urges of the senses, but engage Rishikena Rishikesha Sarvapadi Vinirmuktam Tatparatvena Nirmalam Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhaktir Uchate. Only by engaging our senses in the service of the master of the senses, Rishikesh, our senses will become purified. And then we have to give up all our upadhis. Just by giving all our upadhis and engaging our service in the service of the Rishikesh, who is a master of the senses, our senses can become purified. And then by automatically we will give up the taste for the lower engagements. Again in Bhagavad Gita there is another verse. Vishaya vini vartante nirahasya dehina raso varjam raso api asya param drishtva nivartate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment through the taste for the sense object, but the taste of the sense object remains. But seizing such an engagement by experiencing a higher taste is fixed in consciousness. So we have to experience, we have to dovetail our senses. One cannot restrict senses. One has to dovetail his senses into the service of the master of the senses. And only then the taste for the lower sense enjoyment will go away. So I'll stop here. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu. This is for anyone who is preaching the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
So, what are the duties of someone who goes to some Bodh Yogananda or something, and he sees, especially to the family person, and he sees all that. And he has been, even Prabhupada said in his books that when you go to that place, you will be contaminated by the appearances and the family things that we have to be.
So the first question was, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentions to all his disciples, you can go and preach the message, and he gave the benediction that you will not be contaminated. So it is only for the disciples of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or anyone who is preaching his message. So obviously it is for anyone who is preaching the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and is in the parampara of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that is the benediction for anyone. You will not be contaminated. And the second question is, when you are going into going and preaching at the place in someone's home program or any place which is contaminated, what are the precautions that we should be taking? So obviously we have to again, you have to make sure where you are going and what is your strength. So if you are going into a place, for example, I'm not talking about your circumstance, but if somebody is going and distributing books in a place which is full of drunkards, right, or where illicit activities are happening, he can get influenced by it. So one has to understand what his power is, what his Brahma Tejas is, or how much strength he has got. So you should preach according to your capacity. One should not go to such places where there is a danger of one's getting contaminated and he's not so much fixed up. So that is first point. But again, going to someone's place and preaching, if that person is a devotee, then obviously you can go and preach. But how we can restrict, the question was, how we can restrict ourselves by looking at those opulences. So again, it's a very tricky thing. It's a personal thing. So when especially you are a brahmachari, it is sometimes you see the facilities that grihasthas have. It bewilders. It makes it gives you a second thought whether I should. Some grihastha is having such opulence, and I am a brahmachari. He is also doing good, and I am also on the same level. So might as well I become a grihastha. So that two thought can come. But we have to understand, not every grihastha can have the same opulence. So if some grahastha has got that opulence, it might be because of his previous karmas. Or some credits. But unless you understand the whole life of that grahastha, it is very difficult to just see the opulence and become bewildered by it. Because there is no guarantee, like if you go into grahastha ashram, you will get the same opulence. So, and another thing is, you should have proper knowledge of the Shastra. So, which is very important. Because if you understand everything is temporary, then that will help you not to get bewildered. So even there is an example given. A doctor goes in an area where there is an epidemic disease. So he treats everyone, but there is a risk that he might get that same disease. So still the doctor goes and preaches. One still has to go and preach. Or doctor goes and cures people. But he is vaccinated enough. He takes vaccinations for himself. So similarly, as brahmacharis, we have to go and preach in situations or families where there is opulence. But again, you have to be vaccinated enough by knowledge of Shastras, by association of devotees. And there has to be enough senior brahmacharis whom you should be consulting regularly on this point. Because they have been successful in avoiding those temptations. But yeah, it is very difficult. And many times brahmachari thinks, okay, why am I so struggling when grahasthas are enjoying and they are still doing the devotional service so nicely. But yeah, it's not easy to be a grahastha as well. None of the ashrams are easy. Prabhupada mentions this point. Material world, there cannot be any happiness. There is no possibility of happiness. Happiness is only cessation of misery. So in whatever ashram you are in, it's not like somebody is enjoying. For you, it might look like somebody is in a better position because that's the nature of material world. It's illusioning. You always think the other person is enjoying more than you. Grahastha thinks brahmacharis are enjoying. They don't have any headaches or responsibilities. They don't have to wake up at 2 o'clock at midnight and look at the coughing child or someone, right? So everyone thinks other person is, so that is illusory, power of Maya. And that is why we always try out different options. But one has to understand the transition from one option to other option is easy, but going back to the first option is not easy then. So there is, Prabhupada mentions, and even most of us have realized, if not yet, they will realize, like, there is no happiness in material world. It's only cessation of misery. But yeah, for brahmacharis, it is always advisable to consult senior brahmacharis and sannyasis on this matter. Because the knowledge, only by knowledge they can counteract these temptations. Any other questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu. So the question is, in the case of Draupadi, we just explained there are three kinds of relationship where one is completely dependent and not using his intelligence or will. That relationship is not suitable. One has to do endeavor and then the mercy will come. But in case of Draupadi, Krishna was waiting until she gave up the endeavor. Krishna was waiting until she completely surrenders. So again, in that point, we should understand. Prabhu, you want to answer this question? It's a difficult question, actually. But again, we have to understand Draupadi was already a devotee of the Lord. So Krishna would have protected her in any situation. But it is only to show us the principle of surrender, complete surrender. Lord put Draupadi into that condition. That is the first point from what I can understand. But for us, we should be complete. So there are six stages of surrender. The last one is complete surrender. So one has to come to that one has to come to that platform, but not by giving up all his activities. So Prabhupada mentions in the second chapter of first canto in the purports, like naishkarma is not negation of the activity. Naishkarma is the negation of the attachment to the activity. So one should not give up the activities, but one should be engaged in the activities with complete detachment. One should not be attached to the fruits of the activities. Whereas in case of Draupadi, she was thinking she is more powerful, the family members are more powerful. So she did not have full surrender onto Krishna. So until she called up Krishna with complete giving up all the hopes, Sarvapadi Vinurmuktam. So she gave up all the relationship bondage and then completely surrendered onto Krishna, and then Krishna manifested. So even in that point, the three relationships that we discussed, we have to come to the third, where there is endeavor and mercy. So endeavor has to be there, but again we have to be completely dependent even in our endeavor on Krishna. So endeavor should not be separate to Krishna consciousness. Anukulyena Krishnanu. So whatever we are doing, it should be anukul to Krishna consciousness, favorable towards Krishna consciousness. So if we are endeavoring in that way, then the mercy will come. But our endeavor is totally like the second kind of relationships that we discuss. It is independent. Then mercy won't come. So that is why we need to have endeavor, which is completely under, it's in the mood of self-surrender, complete surrender onto Krishna. Does that... Thank you. Any other questions come in? Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.